You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Again, this intro is like 15 seconds. Good morning, friends. You're tuned into episode 108 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan. Thomas, how are you doing?
Man, I'm great.
Good.
I've been living that VR life this past weekend.
Ooh,
it's been pretty cool.
Sounds pretty cool. I've been living that sick life this past weekend. I played too much
sick.
Destiny 2. It was bad. Like, I pretty much just had, like, no energy to do anything except sit on the couch and cuddle with a cat and fucking grind the Iron Banner. And I completed it across all three characters, which don't. By the way, I was real tired of PvP when I was done with that. But
you'd say that takes like several dozens of minutes?
Oh, at least. Good Lord. Yeah, just don't. Anybody who plays Destiny 2 and is familiar with the Iron Banner will realize that that's a lot. But I talked about Destiny enough on this show. I actually have been thinking a whole lot lately about older, like almost kind of classic games that I have missed out on, but I'm still wanting to actually give a shot. Excuse me, this water's fighting back. I was talking, last night I was recording episode of my other show with a guest, Addison from Pocketoid. He was on our 100th episode, and him and my co-host on that show, Nate, we were talking about, I think we were, quote, making, because we make fake games on that show, we were making a Castlevania game, and like in the middle of the episode I'm just like, hey, I've never actually played a Castlevania game. And they're just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, the Kill Bill siren starts playing.
exactly. So after we got off the call, I'm like, hey, so I'm actually like kind of interested in playing a Castlevania, but which one should I check out? And they kind of directed me towards I think it's called the Castlevania Requiem Collection, which is just Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood, and it's on PS4, and it's only like $20. And that's even like not on sale. I think it just had a price cut. So I'm probably going to pick that up, but it might have to wait till like December, I think, just because there's too many things happening right now as far as like games and other things like taking up my time. I think those games look really cool and really pretty, and I'm really excited to finally get a chance to play one so I can, you know, understand what the hell everyone's talking about. I know Jimmy, who's been on the show a little bit and is on challenge mode, he was taken aback that I've never played a Castlevania game.
You know, it's surprising when you spend time with somebody and you're just like, especially when you talk games for a while and you're like, oh, you pretty much, you know a lot. Like, you're more interested than the average player, right? And then you forget to ask what they haven't played, right? And then so it'll be months and months and months and months and months or years later. And then you discover it's like, wait a minute, this thing that was core to me or to other people, you haven't even laid your hands on it.
Totally, yeah. And I feel like Castlevania and really kind of my other one that I don't really have much of an interest in playing. I've tried a few of them, but like I historically have been known to not really give a shit about the Legend of Zelda series. I've never really played them. I played a little of Wind Waker and a bunch of other ones, but I played Breath of the Wild too. But I haven't really played too many of those, and every time I bring that up, people are just like, fucking what? Like, it's this, like, mind-blowing thing. Like, my first 3D Mario was Super Mario Odyssey. Like, I didn't have
any... Yeah, that's fucking crazy, actually.
I didn't have any of the other ones before that. My first 2D Mario that I've owned, I think, was fucking Mario Maker 2, if that counts. Like, I never was raised on the Nintendo, like, family of systems, you know? Other than, like, the handhelds, right? So, like, Pokemon is absolutely my shit. But
Link's Awakening was your first handheld Zelda, right?
No, it was Oracle of Seasons.
Oh, that's a good game.
I really liked it, actually. I remember it, just a friend let me borrow it. I played it on my Game Boy Color. Fucking loved it.
Yep, having a brother that got the adjacent one to me. You know, we did Gold and Silver.
Yeah.
Pokemon. We got Seasons
and
Ages.
Yeah.
He had Ages, which I think had a better soundtrack, and
Ages, I think,
I think Ages was actually a better game.
Ages, I think, is more puzzle-focused, and Seasons, I think, is more combat-focused. from what I understand.
I think that checks out.
Yeah.
Those were super cool games.
Yeah, and those were like, I think those were actually made by Capcom. Like, honestly, like, if they were to do any sort of like re-release of those or a remake of those, I'd play it. Like, shit, that's one of the few Zelda games I've finished, you know?
Dude, if they brought back on it, so they just made
that might be the only Zelda game I finished, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually. I've like dipped my toes in a few. I put maybe like 50 plus hours into Breath of the Wild, but I just like, I got what I wanted out of it and then just never finished it.
I've
I got like
never,
two of the Divine Beasts and I'm like, I'm good, you know?
I've probably never even completed 50% of an Elder Scrolls game. And those are some of my favorite games. I mean, I've spent so many hours in those games. Yeah. Definitely not even, as far as I understand the story in those games, I have not gotten even close to the 50% mark. With Skyrim, I watched somebody beat most of it. At least with other Bethesda games, I beat Fallout 3. Maybe got 50, somewhere around halfway through Fallout New Vegas. About the same Fallout 4. It's right. Like, I spent all this time with these games. I'm like, man, these are amazing games. They're like, did you beat it? Oh, absolutely not.
Totally.
What a ridiculous question.
Like, I think Breath of the Wild is one of the best video games ever made, but I got what I wanted out of it. And like, I have a couple of friends who are just like, man, like, you say you liked Zelda, but you never finished it. I'm like, those don't have to be mutually exclusive.
It's like, yeah,
you know?
I enjoyed
a whole lot of it, but I got what I wanted, you know, and that's fine. You don't have to finish a game to say you liked it, you know?
You know, I am playing World of Warcraft still, but I've basically done nothing in the past week that's actually been like playing, like properly engaging in combat or anything like that. I've just been doing that auction house thing I told you about.
You're still on that.
I'm still on that.
Awesome.
Because I got money, and I can give it to my friends. For real, though, I got to figure out where my subscription renews, because like, I might play later. PvP is not out in the game.
That's right.
Battlegrounds?
Yeah.
So,
which I did. I know we, like, talked about it whenever WoW Classic launched. Apparently, WoW Classic didn't launch with PvP either. It was, like, rolled into it later.
Yes. And they just released another dungeon that I didn't realize wasn't in the game already.
Oh, cool.
They're actually following that.
That's neat. There's something to be said about, like, not only is it the old game, but it's cool that it's the same kind of content rollout.
Yeah, and there are interesting things to say about that, like for and against and all this stuff. But, you know, I bored everybody with Apex. Maybe I'll come back and talk more about WoW Classic when I plan on letting my sub. I think I plan on letting my sub. You know what? Kitty only talks.
He only talks when we record.
I hope the mics are picking up my cat.
He's like projecting, too.
Well, she,
I'm sorry,
knows how to fill a room.
Oh, totally.
I think I want to let my subscription run out because I'm just, it's, you know, I've got Destiny I just picked up.
Sure.
I've got an Apex Battle Pass that I would really like to fill out because I do enjoy that game a lot. I think I want to come back after PvP is back and give it another shot and play for real, because I don't want to hit max level and have already missed all that cool PvP that I liked so much leveling up. I don't know. I'm not sure what to think there, but I'm gonna table my thoughts on that and revisit it later. Let's hit a couple other things I'm playing real quick
before I
dive into.
Yeah,
I do have one thing
I wanted to shout out of, like, a game that I do want to play that I probably will actually. That I think it's higher up on my list than Castlevania is Chrono Trigger. I'm a big dumb JRPG fan. Never fucking played Chrono Trigger. That raises some eyebrows.
You're naming games I would love to watch you play. I have no interest in
somebody play Chrono Trigger. I'm like 100% sure there's a Giant Bomb Endurance run of it.
I have watched them finish that game. Wait, no, was it is it Chrono Trigger?
Yes,
This Is the Run.
That was Contra.
Okay, yeah. I watched
it was the endurance run I think they did right after Persona. This is getting inside baseball with Giant Bomb, but it's I think Ryan and maybe Patrick.
Okay, I'll check that out.
It's a JRPG, so it's a long one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Persona long, because that's like 154 episodes.
It's so long. I am interested in watching someone else play that. Like Castlevania. I've also never played a Castlevania game.
I've played
Super Metroid, and that's about as far as I went into that genre.
Sure.
My brother loved that stuff.
Super Metroid's a really good game.
It is. It's a good game.
It's definitely
it's not for me.
Time. Yeah.
Well, yes, but even when I played it, it's like, I like this. But I wasn't on fire about it.
Yeah, I have also, similar to Zelda, finished one Metroid game, and it's Zero Mission, which is kind of a remake of the first one, which is great.
Metroid Prime, pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That whole series.
I got my hands on a little bit of Super Metroid. I still want to play Metroid Fusion for the GBA, and I haven't. I played a little bit of Metroid Prime and Prime 2, but not really a ton. I really hope those rumors of the Prime trilogy coming to Switch are real. I would love to play those.
I would really like. I'd probably replay those.
I would. That is a game collection that is just a day one purchase for me, I think.
Yeah, do recommend.
Yeah.
So we will see those at some point, right? Because those.
I fucking hope so.
Well, those are the ones that they were like, hey, we're not ready yet, right?
There was a rumor going around that if it is true, it's possibly one of the worst kept secrets, but there was a rumor going around that they're already done with the collection. They're just sitting on it to wait until the rumor is that possibly whenever they have like more concrete news on Metroid Prime 4 or something to like kind of
be like, hey, piggyback it.
Because they had to like restart Prime 4.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Yeah. Prime 4 is what I'm thinking of, that yeah, they were like, hey, like, we have this, to scrap this.
The rumor is that the Prime trilogy for Switch is done and they're just sitting on it waiting for like the perfect opportunity. I imagine if they do announce it, it's going to be one of those. And it's available right after this Direct kind of things, yeah. Which would make sense.
Yeah. I think you're totally right on all of that. Those games are good. So let's talk for 2 seconds about a game that I'm going to talk about for about 3 minutes.
Go for it.
Apex Legends.
Okay, great.
Okay, I seriously promise, so quick. Most of the game is not different at all, but the Halloween event is going on right now.
Oh, yes. I did see a little bit of gameplay of that.
It's cool. It's a lot of people have compared it to zombies from Call of Duty. I've not zombies like the... co-op four-player game, but another style of battle royale thing that I've never looked at. So I'm ignorant on that, so I don't want to really speak on it. But I've seen a lot of people compare it to that, and the idea is you're back in Kings Canyon, the original map, and you start off. I forget how many people start when you drop.
I think it's like 40 less than the max.
Yeah, it's so less than 60.
I want to say it's like 40. That sounds about right.
Yeah, something like that. And everyone starts off as a normal legend. And you hit the ground. It's all solos, which a lot of people are really into. And, you know, you want to kill the other legends. And anytime somebody dies, they turn into a shadow. So you have 25 health. Normally you have 100, and you can pick up shields for a max of 200 health. So 25 health is not very much. You respawn as a shadow every time you die. If you keep dying and keep respawning, you are a shadow, so you're a zombie. You can run super fast. You can climb basically unlimited height.
The gameplay that I've seen from them, I'm like, oh shit, this is just kind of like Titanfall 2. Like,
oh, is it?
It's like that level of speed, maybe a little faster.
Oh, it's faster. It's faster. You're
maybe like wall running speed in Titanfall 2.
Yeah, yeah. Titanfall 2 is pretty fast.
It's pretty fucking fast.
So you run super fast. You can kill somebody without shields in one hit. You kill somebody with full shields in two hits.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that the shadows were like that lethal.
They will mess you
up.
That's
pretty cool.
So I think they do straight 100 damage in one hit.
Fuck.
Yeah. So you have to kill them very immediately. As soon as you see them, you have to kill them. And it takes a long time to drop in. They don't let you go very fast intentionally with that. So the game mode's cool. Once it gets down to 10 legends at the end, 10 legends left, they're all on the same team now. And now you have to evac. And so you've got to wait like 90 seconds till the dropship comes in, you know, Titanfall style,
yeah,
which I like.
Like the end of a Titanfall
match. I like how they're leaning into it.
I think that's really cool.
I like this direction. And you want to kind of play it safe until the ship arrives. And then you've got a short amount of time to get to it before it takes off, right? So once you get to it, you're totally safe. You can even shoot off the ship and try to kill zombies from up there. It's a cool idea. And it's cool in execution, except for, at least on PlayStation where I've been playing it, man, once people die and turn into a shadow, they just quit.
I have seen a lot of complaints about that.
It sucks.
Kind of almost no real reward for playing the shadow.
It's fun as hell. That's the reward. You mess people up.
Like, I think that would be really cool, but the complaints that I've heard is like, okay, well, you just kind of have to throw yourself at them or like try and plan out an attack the best you can. But
well, I think it's designed so that people aren't quitting, because normally the shadows as you go would vastly outnumber
the
legends.
Yeah.
So you could plan around each other. What I usually do is like the legends want to kill each other. So I'll try to find a legend and get him to make some noise, either shoot at me and miss, or I just stalk him for a while. And then when he runs into another legend, I'll let them fight, and then I'll just kill whoever's winning. So that stuff's cool. You can tell, like, why this game mode would be great. But as soon as people hit shadows, like, you know, people walk into it, they're like, man, I want to kill some zombies. And as soon as they're a zombie, they're like, yeah, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, fuck this, right?
And so it's like, wait, so you're just expecting everyone else to fulfill, like, to help you out kind of thing. And so that's frustrating. I wish there was a steeper reward or punishment or something.
Right.
Or a queue, a special queue that's just like, hey, are you actually going to play as a shadow? Because I don't think, or I've only won one game. I've played like 8 or 9 games. I've only played one game where the shadows won, because at the end, there are usually still more legends. It'll be like, oh, 7 legends left and 5 shadows. That means everybody quit out.
Right.
That stinks, dude.
Yeah, by the end of it, if there's like 40 people, that means there's, if nobody quits, that's 30 versus 10.
Yeah, because the theory,
which sounds cool. If it's just like you are fighting off this like swarm, that's fucking awesome.
The only game I've won as a legend, because I always die early by accident. I do something foolish and then just step into some shit. The only game I played as a legend, I was telling my girlfriend, I was like, well, we're going to win this easy because the shadows always quit. And the shadows didn't quit. And I was like, oh no, like there were like 20 shadows. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I actually think I'm going to hide, because if they know where I am, I'm just dead.
Yeah.
And all the legends were super spread out. Like, we ended up winning, but only because like I killed a bunch of people. And like my teammates rolled up, and so they cleaned them up, and most of us died, but like 2 people survived. Like, sure. I didn't even make it on the ship, but one of my allies did. You know, we fought a big enough fight that, you know, it felt worth it. So that was cool, because even though we died, we won.
Your team still won.
Because our team still won. So that was cool. I played earlier tonight. A cool moment that I wanted to talk about was, I'm sitting there fighting another legend. He's up the hill. I'm down the hill. We're trying not to make too much noise, because really, if you're a zombie, if you hear gunfight or, you know, shooting, you have nothing to lose. You just run straight to it.
Right, because then you just respawn.
Right. So any shots you take, you just have to be wary of like, oh, there might be a shadow on me instantly. They could literally drop right next to you and melee you before you even know that they're there. So I'm shooting this guy, and we're having this cool like skirmish and all this stuff. And so finally, I throw a grenade, and it lands like pretty much at his feet, and then suddenly something flashes above his head, and what had happened was we were now in the last 10 legends. This thing was about to explode on his feet. No, but there's no friendly fire.
Oh, okay.
So this grenade was about to explode on his feet, and then it's like, hey, you're on the same team now.
Hey, what's up, friend?
And so both of us, we just ran at each other and like jumped up and down a whole lot.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that.
It was really cool. Like, we're looking down the sights at each other. It's just like, oh, we're pals now.
Oh, that's good.
That was a fun moment. So anyway, that game's cool. The mode itself is fine. It's just that people quit.
Yeah.
It would be top notch. I really enjoy what's going on in there. It's really hard to see.
Yeah, it seems so, really dark, but kind of intentionally. Because I know it's like walking, King's Canyon at night,
yeah,
which is cool.
They make it, and they're cool, like floodlights and smoke and jack-o'-lantern looking thing. I really like it. Just wish people wouldn't quit.
Sure.
So anyway, that's Apex Legends. That's the Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to do our little Destiny moment here, I'm playing the game. All I have to say about it is I like it a lot. And the game is really bad at explaining itself.
The onboarding kind of just straight up doesn't exist. Like, honestly, like it's really a bummer. But I was kind of mentioning a little bit. We were talking a little bit before we started recording. Like, I think, not to say, I don't want to take away from the fact that I think that the new player experience fucking sucks for Destiny 2 right now.
But it's not easy.
It's not easy. I think it's kind of worse than it used to be, which is weird.
Dude.
Because, like, at least prior to, like, the new Light expansion, you still had to, like, go through and earn everything, but it presented a solid path to get there. And I think that is, I would much rather have a straight path and have it, like,
I would not be upset if they made me unlock stuff right now.
Sure.
Because my biggest, easiest to point out gripe of this game is at all times in the bottom left, you have 3 abilities. You have your grenade.
Mm-hmm.
You have a melee ability. As far as I know, I think everybody's like that.
Typically, yeah. Hunters have sometimes their melee abilities. Sometimes they're like you throw knives or something.
Okay. So you have like a fist ability.
Sure.
Kind of.
It's a melee ability.
Yeah. And then you have a third ability. And I don't know what everybody else's is. For a long time, I didn't know what mine was because it did not tell me.
Yeah.
So mine is a shield. If I hold down my melee button, it puts this shield up in front of me. And by watching...
It's not even the melee. It's the crouch button, at least by default, unless you've like remapped it. Because it's circle on PS4.
Yeah, it is the crouch button.
Yeah. So if you have to hold that down, like they don't fucking tell you that.
And I did that by accident.
Yeah.
I played mission after mission after mission after mission. And I think I was trying to melee. And so I pressed it to melee. And I held it.
Oh shit, there's a shield here.
Yeah,
what
and
the
then
hell?
It popped the thing out. I'm like, oh, I guess that's how I use this ability.
Yeah, they should at least like point you to where, because you also don't know that you can change your grenade type from the get-go, or how you jump, or like your fucking like
still, it
elemental
never,
alignment.
It never told me that. I just knew that because I played Destiny 1. So again, I'm liking the game. Boy.
Yeah, it's a very good game, but it's really a huge bummer that you kind of need more of a guide now as a new player. I would much rather have, like, whenever I played at vanilla for Destiny 2, quit playing, jumped in like this past June whenever they announced Shadowkeep. So I was like getting caught up in all the Forsaken stuff. And yeah, like that stuff, it like carried me off from where I was. But the thing that I liked there was the fact that it was like, hey, you bought Forsaken. If you want to just experience this new stuff, you can just like get this upgrade to level 30 and we'll just give you like new equipment added on top of what you have that is just like the right level. And you can just start working on just your power level. They also have, for this new update, completely abolished just like levels 1 through 30. It's now just like a base power level.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they throw you into it. I remember ever having tutorial issues in Destiny 1.
Totally. I liked that there was a set path. It's like, all right, cool, do the campaign. And then you'll like, so I just did the Forsaken campaign. And from there, it was just like, okay, cool. Well, now like it like sprinkles in stuff. And I understand what they're trying to do. I think they just kind of flubbed the landing here of they're wanting to make it so where you can just play with anybody and just hop in and just have a good time. Everybody is like starting at the same level, which is great. But I think they just kind of lost track of, oh, there's a lot of shit in this game and we should maybe do a better job of like telling you what and where that stuff is.
Yep.
Or at least like presenting you on a path. Cause I know a lot of people who are just like, yeah, like, should I go do the legacy content before I get into the rest of the stuff? And some people, sure, if they want to do
that. I haven't even touched the main story because I just want to see...
Like the Red War?
No, so I'm doing the Red War.
Okay, so that's the main story.
Well, there's one, it's like, hey, do the current mission.
Oh, you're talking about the New Light thing.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at that.
Quote, introduction to all of this stuff.
Oh, is it?
It's not good, yeah.
Well, I haven't even touched it, so I guess I'm not missing anything.
Yeah, it does a really bad job and it's really disappointing.
I'm not disappointed at the game. I'm definitely disappointed at the onboarding process.
I now feel comfortable with the loadout that I'm rocking with, which is great. I have just kind of not resigned myself. I really like the SMGs. Like I am typically not a type of player who likes to like get up in the shit and like use very, I like shotguns, but they're, the ammo that you get in Destiny 2 is a little harder to come by, at least in like PvP. It's very sparse.
Yeah.
But like I just fucking love, I'm still running the Risk Runner, which is an exotic SMG that if you take arc damage while you have, then it refills your ammo. And also the bullets shoot fucking chain lightning everywhere. And I am very much like, I enjoy playing PvE and good Lord, that thing mops up. But yeah, I'm still enjoying it. Played too much of it this weekend. The onboarding sucks, and that's a huge bummer. I hope they fix it, but who knows, you know?
Me too. Yeah, I hope they fix it. I'm enjoying the game, and my buddy's about to install it, and I hope he's not as lost as I was.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he will be, because, oi.
Yeah, it's been kind of nice to, like, see this, like, influx of new players to, like, fill out a whole lot of things, which is cool. I've also really, really been enjoying the Twitter account Destiny 2 Names, where like they just basically on Steam you can make your name be whatever you want, and so people will just like have fucking hilarious names on like for their guardian that like show up whenever you're in the tower or if you're out in the world and stuff, and people are just like sending screenshots in. Like,
is that why I saw the Garfield one? Did you see the same one?
Yeah, and there was like Weird Vex But Okay is very good.
That's
like
a good name.
Silly shit like that. I'm really into it.
That's funny. Twitter accounts are good.
They're very, very good, except when that site is bad. Then it's just a burning hell site.
Agreed. So, anyway, to also talking about the Dark Age. What else did I play? So that's the meat and potato stuff I played this weekend. I had a bunch of friends over on Sunday. Had a Sunday fun day. Everybody play whatever they want. It was cool. I got to watch a couple of my friends, including one friend of mine who does not get very many opportunities to game. He showed up and he was like, give me a game, but probably make it like, I don't know, do you have like an old school one or one that's like pretty basic or something? And I was like, well, I could offer him anything. I pulled up Cadence of Hyrule.
Okay.
I was like, all right, well, I'll start with this because I expected him to play it for about 20, 30 minutes and be like, okay, we got it. But the two people playing, both of them don't really game that much at all.
Mm-hmm.
So the novelty of it wasn't just like, okay, I got a taste of it. Now what else you got? They played it. They liked it. They played it for like 2 hours, saw at least. Huh. And so they've spent more time playing that game than I have. So that was nice because I get to hear all the dope music in that game.
Oh, God, those arrangements. I mentioned earlier, I'm not a Zelda fan, but good Lord, if you give like Danny Baranowski creative like music credit overseeing, obviously he didn't do all the compositions, but if you give him the ability to like kind of be the person managing all of those arrangements, they're gonna be fucking incredible.
It's the music is really good, the sound design is really good.
Oh man,
it's just a cool cool game.
That's what
is
really,
it was a really great Sunday game.
It's what made me really disappointed that I didn't like Crypt of the Necrodancer more, because good Lord,
well,
do
I'm
I love that,
that
soundtrack.
One. Yeah, yeah.
Man, it's good. And yeah, anyway, I've already talked about that on the show before.
So my friends played that. I booted up my HTC Vive, which pretty much only gets dusted off when I have friends over.
Sure.
Which is why I bought it. What do we do first? I was obsessed with Google Earth, right?
Yes.
Google Earth.
Google Earth's cool.
Google Earth is very cool. The first time I ever tried out a Vive, I played Google Earth. My friend booted it up. He said, what game
Google
do you want to play?
VR.
Google Earth VR. Yeah. He said, what do you want to play? And he's like, I got a bunch of games. And I was like, well, this isn't really a game, but I didn't realize Google Earth VR was already out.
Can I check out this free application on your expensive headset?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, here you go. And I hopped in. Dude, I played for like a solid hour just Superman flying around.
Yeah.
It's, man. I don't think I've ever talked about it on the show, but I played that, and I kid you not, anyone who would listen to me talk for like almost a whole year, I just wanted people to know how much of a life, like I'm not exaggerating, a life-changing experience that was for me.
Yeah.
Because I can still say that as an adult, I've never had a technology make me feel that way. Like it was like a way when you really discover something new when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, okay, I thought I understood this, but I wasn't prepared. And you go in and, you know, it's the same Google Earth that you can pull up on your computer, but you're able to look around, like you're able to move your head. You know, if you're standing on the edge of a cliff because you're in, because you can move the headset, it's not just a 360 camera.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can actually move your head in the space. You can look over the edge of the cliff and actually see, like, you can see like what's underneath the cliff because you can tilt your head over. It's like I explain it with people. They're like, oh, I've seen 360 videos, is that what VR is? And it's like, well, it can be,
yeah,
but it's the difference of like standing in a room and seeing a table, but you're able to like bend your head down and look underneath the table. You know, a 360 camera cannot do that. So imagine applying that to being King Kong sized.
Sure.
And you're in Chicago and you can actually look around buildings and you can sometimes look under bridges and stuff like that.
Yeah, I actually haven't checked out Google Earth VR, but I really want to come over and just fuck around with that.
It's
sometime.
Not going anywhere, and I would love to show
great.
You
great. Because I absolutely love VR. I haven't actually used a Vive. I've used my friend Max's, our friend Max, rather, his PlayStation VR. I've fucked around with that a little bit. He showed me some like really cool trippy music videos, which were fucking awesome in VR, because the YouTube app on PlayStation lets you do that. Like if there is a 360 or VR video, you can just be in it, which is rad.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I played like a bunch of like shooter games, stuff like that. Played some Super Hot, which is fucking great.
I downloaded Super Hot for the first time.
Super Hot VR is incredible.
Dude, it's dope.
It is so one of it is. I think if there's anybody who is like kind of on the fence about VR, just give them that. Because, yeah, man, it is so good.
So I had my friend Devin. I got to have Devin on the show sometime soon. If you're familiar with GGKC stuff, he's like my co-leader for Crossum, for fighting game stuff. Mm-hmm. So Devin came over. He's never done VR at all. So the way I had this set up is I have two computer monitors. I have the VR running so I can see it, or whoever can see it. I have my main computer so that I can mess around with computer stuff. And then I have the second monitor pointed out towards our living room so that anybody out here can just see what you're doing.
Sure.
Because it's fun to just pop in every once in a while and be like, what's going on
what's
in this
up?
Corner?
Yeah.
So when he first got here, I had just booted up Super Hot and I played the first few rounds. So the gimmick of that, if you're unfamiliar, is time only moves when you move. So if you stay still, you know, bullets flying through the air will not move. You can plan out your next move. But as soon as you move anything, your hands, your head...
Literally, like, any emotion that the game will register, mm-hmm. which I think is awesome.
It is great. So yeah. You really have to think, and when you want time
it's
to
really
pass,
like,
you do jazz hands.
Totally. It's really like almost an action movie puzzle game.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Because, like, they're all, like, preset, like, and levels, and they're, like, specifically designed where you have to do certain things, where if, like, somebody is shooting at you, then you need to, like, maybe just stand completely still for a second, see where the bullet's going, and then just, like, slowly duck out of the way, fucking Matrix
yeah,
style,
so we
where
got
you
to
see
that
the
one.
Bullet, like, running, like, just going right by your head.
We got to that part where we got to a point. Well, so, I'll back it up. We started... And I played the first few levels. So you mm-hmm. have to beat like five rounds in a row for it to actually progress you
yeah.
to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
And round is the name I gave it. It's definitely not like a...
Yeah, like more stage, if
yeah,
that makes sense.
Definitely. And so I was doing that. So Devin's watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, yeah, I think you should do da-da-da and stuff. So we're both kind of enjoying it, this cool, you know, social experience and stuff. So after a couple of those, I finally give it over to him. And as soon as he starts playing, he's like, oh...
Yeah.
This looked a lot different. Like, he's like, this is a lot harder than I thought it was. Because he was watching
yeah.
me and he's like, you know, just move, just dodge him.
Right.
You
or
know?
Like, just throw the gun. Like,
right.
You have to actually aim and let go of it at like the right time to like get the perfect trajectory.
Yeah. It
it's
doesn't just
crazy.
Like aim for you.
Yeah.
And also, if you just move without thinking, time will move.
Right.
And you don't want that. So if you like, you have to be thinking of where your head and both of your hands are at all times, because if you have any like loose movement, time will pass. And you'll be like, oh, I got shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool experience. That's a game that I've been wanting to play for a long time.
Do you
time.
Have Beat Saber?
Yes, I do.
Oh, boy.
What I need
We're
to do,
gonna
though,
talk.
I need to figure out how to get more songs without paying for them.
Yeah, you can do custom stuff on the PC.
Yes. So
let's talk after.
Let's talk, because I'm very interested in that. I'm more interested. I want to play songs that I recognize.
Yeah. No, let's talk after.
Yeah.
I can
but
put
I
you
say,
in some right directions.
Good game.
Beat Saber's great.
That is a bad game when you're trying to play a rhythm game very loudly on your computer. And the people in the room next to you are also playing a Zelda
sure.
rhythm game.
Yeah, that's a terrible combination.
But they were too nice to tell me.
Right.
So
yeah.
Finally somebody's like, hey, maybe you shouldn't also play a rhythm game right now.
Right.
And I'm like, oh.
I mean, I feel like it'd be fine if you just had headphones in.
Yeah, but that, you know,
but
that's
you
not
don't.
What was happening.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
totally get it. Totally get it.
So that was cool. What else did I play? Let's see. I did those. We did Longbow, which... look up Longbow. I'll talk about it again another time.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth talking about, but yeah, it's like defend your castle and archery. Archery is what it is.
Sure.
So the last game that I played, my friend Jeremy, the same guy who bought me the Forager game
yes.
I talked about
mm-hmm.
a while ago, he was like, hey, I will buy you Subnautica.
Oh, boy.
On VR if you'll play
it. I should be better
it.
Friends with Jeremy. Shit.
get it while you can. He's shipping
right.
off. Team
yeah.
Liquid is moving him out of the country.
That's right.
Here.
That's right.
He got me Subnautica and I've seen gameplay of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'd like it. It's going to make me face my fear. Like, I really don't like spiders, but I think my only real fear is like the deep dark ocean.
Well, then why are you playing this?
Because it's not going to hurt me.
Okay. All right.
And well, because it's got the great exploration stuff.
It does.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a very, I haven't played it myself, but it's a very well regarded game. My friend Brandon just loves the shit out of Subnautica.
Yeah.
And he is like, not in a bad way, but has like talked my ear off about it. Just like of all the cool, like neat things that you can do about it. It's a pretty neat game that I really wish that I was like into.
So I'm checking it out. Turns out I didn't pay for it. So what do I got to lose?
Might as well.
So we download the game. And I go to boot it up. First thing we realize is I am not in the... Okay, so the game starts and you're in a drop pod. Subnautica has been around for a little bit, so I'm not spoiling the first 5 seconds of that game to say you're supposed to be in a drop pod for a spaceship in space. Turns out your ship crashed and you open up the hatch and you're actually in a limitless ocean. You are an ocean as far as the eye can see.
Great.
Well, so my VR started, and you're not supposed to know that you're in the ocean until you pop the hatch. Well, the VR started, and my head was outside of the ship.
Oh no.
So I could already see the environment, and I could see things happening in front of me, and I realized, oh, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not how I was supposed to see this.
That sucks.
So that's how that started. And Jeremy's like, oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
He's like, this is supposed to surprise you. Whatever.
It's called Subnautica.
So like, I lean in there and I realize, oh, my hand controls aren't doing anything. My Vive controls aren't doing anything. So we look it up. I actually need to be playing with mouse and keyboard.
Oh.
Which makes this the first VR game I'd played not with the Vive controllers.
Okay, so you'd have to, like, keep the headset on but, like, move around with mouse and keyboard? Or...
Yes.
Okay,
so
interesting.
So, WASD, which is easy enough.
Yeah.
And honestly makes sense thinking about the way the movement works in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me, I actually do have one other thing to briefly talk about.
Okay, cool.
That we're going to laugh about after this.
Hey.
But I WASD'd it on the keyboard. And I used my mouse. The mouse works just fine when you're moving around. Things feel a little funny, but I immediately went straight down to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, go over here, check this out. And I was like, nah, dude. I'm going to go check out what's going on underneath
the
waves.
I'm good, man. What's up?
So I did that, and so I realized I can, like, catch fish. So I go to grab the fish, but every time I get near one, the frame rate slows down really far.
That's rough.
And I was just like, click, 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 and I couldn't grab it because the frame rate was just so bad. And I'm like, all right, well, I still want to like it. What can we do? And we're like, well, let's go into the settings. There might be something we can change. So this is when I knew it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
We go into the menu and there's no mouse. You're supposed to use your mouse to navigate it. The mouse doesn't show up. So I was like, something's not right. And I start looking around and I see that one of the icons is lit up. So I turn to look at it and it unlights up. And I turn my head back to where it was before and it lights up. So I start experimenting and I realize it's using the angle of my head to choose the thing.
Oh, I kind of hate that.
But I'm not even facing the words. I'm facing like 45 degrees to the side.
I don't like that.
No. And so I couldn't use any of the menus because of all that stuff. So
that's
at this
rough point,
it was rough, dude. That's one of the... I know VR is like not your traditional port. But that's easily the roughest port I've maybe
That is an interesting choice. I wonder if that was just, we want to have a VR mode, but... this is all we can do because we have it like the menus or something created in a special way or something.
So we look up the reviews for the game and you know, which maybe we should have done beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And making this nice for a story, but 50% of the reviews were, wow, this game is transcendent.
Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing. Like I can do this, this and this. And oh my gosh, this is a spiritual experience. And the other half are, yep, played for about 20 seconds, game's broken, can't play.
Yeah.
Was
this
on
Steam? Was this a Steam review? Yeah, that checks out.
And this is not a new game, so I'm worried.
It's not, yeah.
This will probably never be fixed.
So is this only for the VR side of it? Because I know you can just play the game.
I'm pretty sure I can play it without the VR.
You can, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I know it's possible.
Yeah, it's also on, like, other systems.
It's really a question of, did the license that I bought, does it work?
Gotcha.
So I'm pretty sure that one does because when I didn't have my headset plugged in, it allowed me to
play. Yeah.
Anyway, that's a real bummer, but I'm excited to play that in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The thing we're going to laugh about is the VR-only license I bought that doesn't give me access to the normal game. That is the new, hot video game Elder Scrolls 6 Skyrim.
Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim.
Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. I was
like, you already got Elder Scrolls 6? Holy shit, dude.
I was dead. Next level shit. I asked my girlfriend. She wanted it real bad. For me, it was either between No Man's Sky VR, which I think would float my boat. Also, there have been a ton of updates.
That it's pretty cool.
I've heard that too. Wish I would have bought it. I told my girlfriend I'd split it with her if she'd actually play it. I hope she does, because that was only just a few days ago. I hopped in. And first, it leads you into, before it even like starts the game proper, it puts you in a cave and it's like, hey, you're in VR now. Here are the controls, kind of. And it takes some getting used to. Definitely not. I don't want to say that's not intuitive. VR is innately not intuitive.
Sure. It's still relatively new. People are still figuring it out.
Yeah. It's like for a lot of people, holding a controller in your hands feels foreign because you just want to use your hands. You know, like your fingers, a traditional hand way. And in VR, all you have is your vision and these controllers. And technically, you can see a digital version of the controllers in the VR, in the virtual reality. So you can see what your controller looks like precisely. But that's still a barrier where you're you're fumbling around. It just doesn't feel...
There's also a weird, like, uncanny valley thing with... like VR stuff where if you like look and something doesn't work exactly right, it not only breaks your immersion but can make you motion sick.
So I, you know, VR when it was even younger than it is now, when VR was first starting out across all platforms, everybody tried to just let you move around, you know, WSD style or on a scrolling wheel or whatever. And people got motion sickness.
That's how you throw up.
That's how you throw up. So I heard all about that. I've never tried VR that did that. I've only really tried VR that teleports you.
Yeah.
So
which is what a lot of people have done.
And it makes the most sense.
Totally.
If you've never played VR, teleporting is just like it sounds. You aim with your controller at a place on the ground or, you know, in front of you, and you press a button, and it teleports you right there. So you're in one spot, poof, you're in the next. There's no motion, right? There's no, my eyes tell me I'm moving, but my body, you know, my brain, my ears tell me that I'm not.
It's kind of like you are looking through like an on-rail shooter, but you're just controlling the spot.
Yes. So it makes the most sense. If that's all you've ever played, it just works.
Yeah.
You know, so that worked. And it was like, hey, you could also do, you know, a traditional movement where you move using this pad. But it says that the comfort level is like medium or something. So the other one is high. This one is medium. I was like, let's try that. And so I'm standing up in the middle of, well, this room, actually, where we record our podcast. And the moment I moved that pad, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to be sick.
Yeah.
Like I rarely get dizzy from anything. Mm-hmm. I don't think in my whole life, when I'm sober, I have ever gotten the spins in a way that I thought I was actually going to sit. And dude, it was instant where I was just like, I need to sit down right now.
Yep. Yeah. So I was playing, brief aside, we need to take a break here in a second, but, brief aside, like, whenever I was playing VR for the very first time, my friend Max's place, just playing his PSVR, like he started me out really simple with like, okay, we're going to play Rec Room. We're going to play Super Hot VR. We're going to play these like shooting gallery type games, which are great. And then he's like, all right, cool. Eve Valkyrie time, motherfucker. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Which, Eve Valkyrie, are you familiar with that? It's like part of the Eve family of games, like Eve Online, like the great spreadsheet simulator.
Yeah, how could you get dizzy in a spreadsheet?
Well, it's because you are a fighter pilot in a ship dogfighting against other people in VR.
I don't see how that could be dizzying.
Oh god. It was literally the first time in my entire life I've ever felt motion sickness. It was bad. I felt my stomach drop whenever I like did a barrel roll to evade a shot. Ooh. It was terrible. Cool game though.
But yeah, you're this is cool and give me a chair.
Yeah.
And a bag, please. Yeah.
Well, you got anything else?
I played that. It's definitely an 8 or 9 year old game.
It is.
That's for sure.
God, that was 2011.
It was very squinty. Yeah. I kept being like, how do I turn up the resolution? Well, the answer is
you don't.
You don't.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope my girlfriend plays that because I had some difficulty with it. I could spend more time with it. When it got to the stuff that I care about the most, which is like, oh, look at this like, look how big everything looks. Like, I can see that mountain. Like, it gave me that cool sensation of when Skyrim or any Elder Scrolls, you know, any of those games come out.
The scale works for VR, for
sure. Feels good. Yeah. I wish it was a little crisper, but that's just the hardware.
Right,
and
right.
I'm going to have to pay $1 million if I want that to be better. The thing I really wanted was to be able to hold a fire spell in my hand and just aim it wherever I wanted.
That'd be cool.
And that worked pretty well.
Great.
Like, that was
great.
That was cool.
Awesome.
So, anyway, I hope that... I hope that works out. I'm not really holding my breath.
Yeah, that's fair.
I did just buy Skyrim for like the sixth time or something.
Well,
I don't know.
You and like everybody else.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope that's good. But I was glad to play some new stuff this week instead of just playing, Apex.
Destiny 2 like I did. Right. Yeah. So let's take a quick break and we will be right back with some more show.
Hello, this is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network. And I am here to tell you about Screen Heroes. Do you love superheroes? What about superheroes in film and TV? How about weird rankings like top five lists or maybe three people just arguing about top five lists? Either way, we are the podcast for you. Check us out every Tuesday night live on Twitch. Or subscribe to Screen Heroes Podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and Google Play. Now, back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Hey, we're back. Thomas, we were talking a little bit during the break and a little bit before the show about The Outer Worlds and just how fucking cool that looks. That game comes out, I believe, this Friday. I'd say as of the time of this recording, but the show goes up on Wednesday.
Well, nice thing about Friday is it's always after Wednesday.
That's true. That is technically correct. Yeah, it's the new game by Obsidian. It's really their kind of last game as an independent, quote, independent studio, because they've recently been purchased by Microsoft. And this is still coming out on, like, PS4 and everything like that. And great, like, that's awesome. And I think that's really cool that, I mean, you should totally... If you buy any studio, you need to let them honor their fucking previous business deals. Otherwise, that's just shitty.
Yeah.
But yeah, it very much seems kind of like a spiritual successor to Fallout New Vegas, which was the Fallout game that they actually handled like the full development on whenever they I don't know if it was like they reached out to Bethesda or somebody, but they basically took that one off of Bethesda's hands. And
well, hey, I can tell you,
go for it,
because I did. Yeah, I did a little light research. It's definitely light. So if anybody has any corrections, please actually do send them to us. So The Outer Wilds, let's start at the top. Outer Wilds is one of my most anticipated games for this year. Contrary to most of the stuff I talk about, I actually
already called it Outer Wilds.
Oh gosh, I did. The Outer Worlds. Man.
That's really confusing. And it's, I wonder, since there's so many people doing that, I wonder if that is potentially going to impact like, oh, this game is coming out because like Outer Wilds just came out on PS4.
Maybe a week or two ago. I feel like most people...
They're vastly different games.
Well, they're vastly different games, and this is like the AAA of AAA.
Sure,
as far as hitting that market, like there are people, you know, as soon as I typed in O on Google today, Outer Worlds popped up.
Cool.
And Outer Wilds, unfortunately, is not going to see that kind of recognition.
Yeah, it's getting a whole lot of critical success. I do intend on playing it before the end of the year, but we'll see what happens.
Okay, I thought Kat was going to do it again.
Yeah, that's okay.
No, so this is my most anticipated game for the year. I tend to play a lot of games that came out a while ago. I wait till sales happen a lot. Well, the nice thing about this is if you have the Xbox Game Pass, you get this game with the Game Pass. So
Fucking steal. Reviews came out, I believe, today or yesterday, and it is just fucking glowing with like the praise that it's getting.
It looks sweet. I think the announcement trailer was at E3. No.
It was the Game Awards was the announcement
this past year, yes. Which is like usually in December.
Mm-hmm.
So it was last year. It was at the end of 2018 that they announced it for the first time. It's just now coming out here in October.
Yep.
So that's nice that there's not some like 3 year preview window. Yeah. As soon as I saw the trailer, it made me think of it's like a dash of Borderlands, a dash of Rick and Morty with an open world RPG game.
Sure, yeah, I can see that.
And more or less, it seems like that's kind of what we've gotten. The reviews state that it's dripping with personality. It's very colorful, which I like. This is, no kidding, the generation of color.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, generally high praise. The drawbacks I've seen from, I haven't read thorough reviews of it, but I've looked around for a lot of snippets that mm-hmm. people have shared. And so it seems like it's not a totally groundbreaking game, but if you're looking for a game that follows the pedigree that Obsidian has come from, so Fallout New Vegas, which was a game I really liked,
yeah,
it seems like you're really going to like this game.
Yeah.
So if you look at it and you think you're going to like it, you should pick it up, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I'm getting a ton of Mass Effect vibes from a lot of it, too, which is not really something I kind of expected out of this game. Like, I was listening to the Giant Bombcast earlier today, and they were talking about it, and it's, like, pretty similar to Mass Effect in the way of, like, okay, well, you have, like, you pick your, like, two companions to go on missions with you, and it's very much like that character select screen with all of them standing there, and you, like, mm-hmm. highlight them, and you literally, like, time will slow down as you, like, choose their abilities to use in combat, and,
yeah.
like, it's got this, like, cool, like, space, almost Discovery vibe to it. It is checking a bunch of good boxes for me.
Yeah, I still... if we have time later, because I don't want to spend a ton of time talking mm-hmm. about this, I have had several conversations recently about hard drive space and updating and all this stuff. You know, I tried to play Apex and Destiny the other week, and both of them had massive updates at the same time.
Sure did.
And I had to wait a long time mm-hmm. for those to install. It wasn't even the download that took time. It was the install, like the actual, you know,
that's interesting.
My system
yeah.
doing it. I think I need to clean the fan out in
you
my
might need
Pro.
To. Yeah.
But... that's all to say that I've had a lot of conversations recently about data and hardware space and freeing up space from games that I can just download again. My save file stays, but it's about picking what's on my backlog that I'm actually going to play. So I've really knocked out a bunch of stuff I never thought I'd delete from my hard drive. I've got God of War still on there. I've got Super Mario Odyssey still on my Switch. But it's making me think more about what am I actually going to commit to playing. And the conversation I had on Sunday when I had my friends over was my friend Christina was looking for just another solid game to play. And I was like, well, the phrase I have always heard for the kind of experience you're looking for is a meat and potatoes game.
Totally.
It's you're looking for something that it's going to fill plenty of time. It's going to be satisfying, probably has... like, you know, the more you put in, the more you get out kind
yeah,
of thing.
Kind of a comfort food kind of feel to it.
Yeah, nothing super crazy.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling about Dragon Quest XI, honestly. Mm-hmm. It is exactly what I would expect. There's some surprises in there, and I'm enjoying it. But yeah, it's a JRPG, and it is, like, from the series that invented the JRPG. Like, I know yeah. what I was getting into.
So, it seems like The Outer Wilds is really...
Outer Worlds.
Damn it. The Outer Worlds is a solid meat and potatoes game.
Right.
So I need to finish eating my old meals. I need to finish eating a few
of
my things.
You work through your leftovers.
I do. I think I want to really knock out some gaming over Thanksgiving and then also Christmas break.
Sure.
I'm really hoping to knock out these big titles because the games I have on my backlog are about the highest quality, but also the longest games I've had on my backlog in a long time. So as excited as I am about The Outer Worlds, I gotta make sure that I give these games the time they deserve. Here I am looking for a sale to pick up Outer Worlds, but honestly, the people who have a Game Pass who get this for $10
right.
a month, man, that is absolutely...
It's an incredible deal.
It's an incredible deal. So anyway, if you haven't noticed, we have not played the game because it's not out yet.
Sure, yeah.
So... I'm still very excited, whether I buy it, you know, this weekend or in 2 months or whatever, I'm absolutely going to play this. But people have been excited about this game because it was made by, well, one of the reasons is it was made by Obsidian Entertainment. So Obsidian Entertainment developed this game. They are famous for developing Fallout New Vegas, which was a very unique Bethesda game. So, of course, Bethesda published it. And Obsidian made it. So when I was doing this light research, I found that that Obsidian was made from the studio. Let's see if I've got the name here. I think it was Black Isle. Let's see. Yeah. Black Isle Studio.
I think it's entertainment. Maybe. That sounds right. Yeah.
But Black Isle is the part that I know for sure. So Black Isle made Fallout 1 and 2.
They did. Yeah. They were the original Fallout devs, and a lot of them, whenever. I don't know if that studio collapsed or if like they just left to go do other things. Like they formed Obsidian.
The studio's done.
Yeah.
The totally. Studio is toast.
Yeah.
So one way or another, four of the former employees went on to make Obsidian. So Obsidian made a bunch of stuff. I would say that they're most well known for Fallout New Vegas. Because that's the one I recognize the most. Sure. But when I looked this up, they also made Knights of the Old Republic 2.
They did, yeah.
Which is crazy. And when I read that, I was like, oh, I guess I do remember their name being on that. Mm-hmm. Neverwinter Nights 2. So both of those, of course, are BioWare sequels.
Yeah. Obsidian has a really good pedigree of being probably one of the most consistently like high-quality Western RPG developers.
Okay, then I had to check this, that it was true, because I first saw this on Wikipedia. They made South Park the Stick of Truth.
They did. Yeah.
They did.
That was their, I think, last game, maybe?
It was the last one on the list that I saw.
Yeah. They made Stick of Truth.
And that's a quality game.
It's pretty good.
I've only seen bits of it, and it only has, like, good reviews.
It's a good RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, I love their pedigree. It's diverse. They come from another studio, so...
Yeah. Like, honestly, incredible pickup by Microsoft.
Like, yes.
They recognize that they're, like... First-party studios were kind of lacking on the RPG front, so let's get one of the, if not, I would say right now, possibly one of the, I would say at least top three Western RPG developers out there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Western RPGs, I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
You've got, like, this interesting backstory of, like, where they come from, what have they done, like, what do they have under their belt, and then them recently being bought up by Microsoft.
Yeah.
So it's funny looking at this because it's on Game Pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
The games that are on Game Pass are, as far as I know, usually Microsoft exclusives.
So every first-party game from a Microsoft game studio, or an Xbox game studio as they're called now, they do launch day and date with Game Pass, which is awesome. I think that's a great value. But there's also a whole lot of third party and a lot of indie games that are just kind of rotated through. You can get fucking Devil May Cry 5 on Game Pass right now. That is insane.
that game is
so good. That game is in
every
my top,
time I see
in my top five favorite of the year so far.
You posted the clip for your other podcast, for the NES podcast,
yes.
New Entertainment yeah. System. And it had May Cry in the name, right?
Yes.
And so I've been listening to the episode. I listened to the clip. But every single time I see anything Devil May Cry now, I just think of you, because we specifically, it was on this podcast, you had at one time described something. I have the picture in my head. I don't know what your words were, but it was like, all right, so you drop out of the sky and you use your motorcycle as weapons.
It's fucking awesome. That game fucking rules,
and
Thomas.
And you showed it to me, and your description was exactly right.
It's so fucking good.
And I've never forgotten that picture I have in my head.
Man. I love that game.
So, so anyway, yeah, Game Pass seems like kick-ass deal.
Oh, God.
So right now they're basically, so Obsidian is basically, when they made this, so they fulfilled their contract.
Yeah,
the contractual obligation.
This was published by Private Division, which is part of 2K.
So they finished making this game. So it's funny because this is, I've heard it described by other people that it's like an Xbox exclusive that just happens to be on other systems.
At this point, they bought them like midway through development. Like,
yeah. And so that's like a weird, unnecessary way to describe them, but it's just a funny thing to look at.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Obsidian made all this stuff. So that's their cool story. That's their history. It sounds like they did a good job with this one. What I wanted to briefly get into, and we can go as deep or shallow in this as we want, is so Fallout New Vegas, that was a remarkable game in the Fallout series. For a lot of reasons, not just the fact that like it was a good one, but it did very specific things that introduced to the genre of like open world RPGs, that it introduced to the Fallout series, that it introduced to Bethesda, that they now have in other games. And people have been asking, the internet has been asking for a New Vegas successor for a long time. Doesn't even have to be a Fallout
remaster,
game.
Honestly. Like, I think a lot of people would be 100% on board with that.
Dude, people, I did for years. So what's it, New Vegas came out in 2010.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I was seeing, I haven't owned a PC in ages, but until recently, but I was seeing mod updates for the DLC content and stuff like, and people basically releasing their own DLC up until like a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah. People are still playing that game. Like, and the still very good.
The mod community never goes anywhere.
Sure.
You know, mod communities stick around, and you know, that stuff lasts long before a developer even finishes touching the game. But people really uniquely, at least in my perspective, have asked for a New Vegas successor for years. Well, since 2010. So I kind of wanted to take a moment to dive into what people liked about New Vegas so much. So for people who never played the game but have heard others excited about it, or who are excited about Outer Worlds and want to know why people were so interested in something like this, to understand like comparisons and reviews and stuff. So Fallout New Vegas, what it is a game like the other Fallout games. You're a stranger.
The modern Fallout games, yeah.
Yeah, you're... Yeah. Yes, so the old ones used to be isometric.
Yeah, like and, kind of an old third-person-ish thing, very point-and-click style.
Very different
still an RPG,
three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 was a big departure.
3 was a big departure, and then the original studio who made the 1 and 2 basically came back and did this. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the Black Isle guys reformed as Obsidian. Obsidian came back for New Vegas and had a lot of creative control. Mm-hmm. So they came back and made this blueprint that is unique to Fallout, or it was very unique to Fallout 3. So the game opens up. And in Fallout 3, you're in a vault, right? Famous vaults from the Fallout series. You are a child. You learn the tutorial. Basically, you go through all this stuff, Tunnel Snake's rule, and you are finally opened out into the world, and then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, Fallout New Vegas, you're a courier. You were doing something in your past life. You got shot in the head.
Yeah, you fucking get just capped like 30 seconds into that fucking game.
Left for dead.
Yeah.
But you happen to wake up. You're not dead.
In some old dude's house.
Yeah, just, you know. Somebody's like, hey, you wandered in here. You know, you don't look so good. What's up? And you don't remember anything, right? So that's the premise of the game, is like, it's a fresh start because you don't remember you don't remember who you are. So you start the game. Well, this one streamlines the tutorial process. You make your character in this doctor's house, and then the tutorial area, you can go and explore around like the town of Good Spring.
Yeah.
Or you just leave. So if this is your first character, you can do the tutorial. But if it's not, you can just exit and explore the game. So that was a nice option the game gave you. Kind of streamlined the custom character creation process. So now you can go explore the world. Well, the world of Fallout New Vegas is unique to the Fallout world because, unlike an open world where you can go explore in any direction and, you know, pretty much deal with whatever you've got, the game really funneled you in a certain way so that you would explore it and follow this storyline that went, it is an open world where you can just like pick a direction and go. But, It's almost like a big horseshoe that comes around. And if you go the wrong way, it'll be like, hey, turn back. And then you'll see more signs. They're like, hey, we weren't kidding, turn back. And if you keep going, you find these bugs that kill you so fast.
Oh, my fucking God. Are you talking about the Cazadores?
The Cazadores, dude.
Oh, Jesus. I blocked that out of my memory. God damn. Those things melted you.
But how memorable of an experience was it? Because
I remember, instead of
them putting up a fucking wall that says,
no,
hey, you can't go this way, or
it'll
an invisible
wall.
It'll
let you try to get through it.
Yeah, it'll let you go. And then it's just like, we told you.
I remember, like, I didn't have like a physical map, but I think I had a waypoint that I left set on my map of like, don't go here, go the long way around.
Right.
And I had to, because those things fucking destroy you, because if one of them gets wounded, a swarm of them
shows up. And one of them will
and they
like,
do poison damage, dude, which goes through your fucking armor.
And they attack ultra fast, ultra hard. So it's super funny because they, as a design choice, instead of putting up a barrier that says this, you know, you cannot cross this until you're level 20 or something, or a physical wall that just says you just like literally can't go this way, they leave it open world, but they're just like, hey, so like it's dangerous out there.
It's pretty fucking bad out here.
So the first time I ever played, I actually never even went north. I just happened to pick a direction, and the direction I picked was the way the game wanted me to go.
Yeah.
So I had friends telling me about the Cazadores, and I was like, oh, that's crazy. So when I went back later and made, you know, I played on Xbox 360 mm-hmm. first time. When I went back on PC back in the day, I was like, I want to see what's up here. And I was like, Jiminy Christmas!
They're bad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So it was just, but it was so memorable. I love that if you say that stuff to anybody,
that's literally, if any time ever anybody mentions that game, the first thing I think of is the fucking Cazadores.
And so I like that because it was a design choice of like, we need to funnel characters in a direction mm-hmm. because this is an open world. It's not like, and we want to tell a story in a specific way. How are we going to do that? And so I really like that choice because it really made everybody take a step back and just be like, whoa, okay, yeah. And I have it, to it
doesn't
think
make,
about
it. It doesn't make it feel like they're holding your hand through it. They're going to let you fuck up as many mm-hmm. times as until you make the decision to, maybe I don't go this way until I am like higher level or have better equipment that is prepared
times.
For these. Right, totally.
Yeah, and be like, okay,
and I sure
I
did.
So you do that. You can choose survival mode if you want.
Yeah, I remember that being like a pretty hyped up thing.
Dude, I loved it.
I hated
it. Was
it.
Totally imperfect.
I hated it so much.
Well, I love the idea of it, I think, more than I even liked
the actual
thing.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm with you on that. Yeah. The execution wasn't great.
You know,
it was a good idea.
Back in the day when I first picked up RuneScape, I mean, I was in like middle school or maybe even like sixth grade or something.
Yeah, let's talk about RuneScape.
So I picked that game up and I remember on the tutorial island, it's like, hey, here's how you, like the very first thing is like, here's how you make a fire.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Like I have, you know, I'm using some survival skills, like I'm chopping the wood down and then I have to do this. And they're like, and there's this place called the wilderness where it's extra dangerous. And so when I was on Tutorial Island, I had this picture in my head of a game that was much different than RuneScape because I'd never played anything like it. And the picture in my head was like, all right, at any time, like you could look on the horizon and choose where you're going to go. And you've got the tools and the skill set, you know, to start a fire and cook food and fish and all this stuff. And I always loved that. Like that was intriguing to me before almost anything else in RuneScape. So when the game offered, hey, you can cook meat, you have to sleep. Like you actually have to worry about your well-being.
Right. Like there was like a thirst meter that, like you would,
you're
like,
in the desert.
You would start getting like a blurry vision if like you didn't drink water.
Yeah,
which I thought was neat.
So it wasn't just about like, oh, your numbers will go down. It was an extra
there
layer.
There were like visual effects, like how if you, like I know, and this was in Fallout 3, I think, where if your like different body parts can get crippled. So like if your arm got crippled, then you're like your aim was shot. Or if your head got crippled, then it was just blurry
everything
for
was bad.
A while.
If your leg got crippled, you couldn't run. You only could walk.
You walked at half speed.
And
like
so
you
then
walked
it was
like you were over encumbered.
Guess I'll die.
Yeah, basically.
Dude, anytime that happened, I was like, I'm safe scumming this. I'm not walking around with a broken leg.
I can relate.
which is one of the few games I've ever confidently safe scummed in. But I like that because it gives you all these options where it feels like things have consequences other than, oh, I said the wrong dialogue option.
Totally.
And I liked it because it meant that exploring really had you at any moment, anything could happen.
Right.
Or at least that's how it felt for
me. The exploration, and I didn't play a ton of New Vegas. I think I got to New Vegas and then just never went back to it for really no reason. But I really liked that. And this, and like I said, this is something that I felt was missing from 3 was that there didn't feel it felt like there were stakes to exploring. Like you didn't know what you were going to find. And most of the time it was going to be something where you were usually in over your head.
Yeah.
By the time you get to a certain point in 3, you just felt like you were just this walking killing machine.
Yeah.
And nothing really messed with you. But I felt like, at least with my time in New Vegas, anytime you would like find a house, you might open it up and there could just be a bunch of dead people and a just real powerful ass rad scorpion in there.
Yeah.
Or like a fucking Cazador swarm out of nowhere.
Well, so
or like a
I
rival faction that you may have accidentally pissed off that has like sent out a hunting party for you.
So the nice thing about that is like where Fallout 3 had some of that stuff, when you can choose to direct your player in a certain direction, you know how they're going to progress. So you can leave it like that where you're like, all right, whatever's ahead of them, they got to make the decision. Are they just going to stay on the road where it's pretty safe? Or are they going to go over there? And there's that high risk. And and the developer knows it's a high risk because they know what you've gone through to get there and where you're probably at in level. So the factions that you mentioned, it's a unique thing where you've got, you know, Kaiser, the Caesar's army, which are these tribalistic, almost these Roman looking soldiers who have these outfits and all this stuff and are just brutal to everybody.
They're fucked up.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Yeah.
And then you've got the NCR, the New California Republic, mm-hmm. the soldiers. And I think you've got a couple other factions. You've
got the Brotherhood of Steel was still there because they're always there.
They were. So I had played a bunch of Fallout 3 before that. And in Fallout games, you can get a companion. In you know, Bethesda games, you can get a companion.
Right.
So I got to a point where I found organically my first companion. I probably could have found somebody before that, but I didn't. And so in my game, I found this woman whose name I can't remember right now. But I didn't know this at the time, but it turned out that she was voiced by Felicia Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot she did that.
So she's great. Her character is a Brotherhood of Steel outcast mm-hmm. who loves to punch shit.
Yeah.
And she'll great. Mess people up.
Excellent.
And the way that you can flesh out her character is really interesting because she'll actually interact to the things that are going on around you. If you've played any Bethesda game, you know how that is. But her, you know, like if you play Skyrim, the hired hands, they'll have some unique stuff, but they're not like that unique. Like they don't have like a loyalty mission like a BioWare game would. But I remember with hers, I never even finished all her stuff. I ended up looking it up later because I lost my save file, blah, blah, blah. But she has this very interesting story that she actually takes time to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Is what it comes down to. But the voice acting is great. The character, her interactions with the people are great. But it's nuanced. But she's not the only one like that. There are lots of characters in the game that you can do that with who will follow you around and give this flavor to the world that's just great. And all the reviews I've seen of Outer Worlds, that it's dripping with personality.
Yeah.
These are the characters that I think of when I, you know, when I see
yeah,
that
absolutely.
About Outer Worlds. So I looked up the list, Fallout New Vegas. I always forget who's in it, so I have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I always remember New Vegas as being like one of the most heavily stacked voice acting casts.
Hit me. I'm not sure who's in it, okay. Other than Felicia Day.
There are plenty on this list who I'm going to gloss over that other people would think me crazy for.
Okay.
We've got Matthew Perry. That's an easy one.
Okay.
Chris Christopherson. Ron Perlman, obviously. World Never Changes.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. We have Donnie Trejo.
Oh, shit. Really? Danny Trejo's in that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Did I say Donnie Trejo?
Yeah, you did.
I meant Danny Trejo. Let me pull this a little closer so I can probably okay, speak no problem. Into this microphone. Let's see. We've got William Sadler. If I showed you some of these photos, you'd be like, I know who these guys
sure.
are. Dave Foley, Rob Corddry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Will Wheaton, of course.
Yeah. That checks out.
I recommend going and looking up this list.
Yeah,
because
I'll check
for
this
me,
out.
I'm really bad with actors, but once you see some of these, like they're voices you'd recognize, but if you saw the actors' faces, you'd be like, wow, they're like over a dozen famous people.
Sure.
Like properly
yeah.
famous people in here. It's very good.
Yeah.
The quality when you talk to people in this game, it's memorable. Much like the thing with the Cazadores, there's just a lot in this game.
Oh shit, Zachary Levi's in this game. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, this is a fucking stacked voice cast. You weren't kidding.
It's stacked, dude. So it's memorable. Like, it's memorable above all things. Does it have its flaws? Sure, it does.
Yeah. No game is perfect. It's literally art made by people.
And straight up, it's a Bethesda game. So you know it's going to have,
well,
it's.
I remember the big story around that game launching was just how unbelievably buggy and broken it was.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer. And it sounds like they fixed a whole lot of that stuff. And like kind of touching on your, like the character of the game and the world comment, that's something that I appreciated a lot about New Vegas that I really like. I probably going to catch some flack from a few people for this, but I don't like the kind of direction that specifically the Bethesda in-house Fallout games, so like 3, 4, and 76, are taking the kind of series and like Fallout just as a world, because Fallout I think is at its best when the goofy stuff is very satirical instead of just mm-hmm. kind of being goofy. And like the thing that's rubbed me the wrong way about Fallout 76 that I've like finally been able to just like put my like finger on is that Fallout and Fallout 2 and really kind of Fallout 76 are very deep. There are a lot of like character driven stuff. And I'm not saying that there's not good stories and like good world building in 3 and 4 and 76, but I don't like the fact that it's kind of gotten away from it being kind of a meta commentary on like nukes and like warfare.
You do or don't like that it's gotten away from
that. I don't like that it has gotten away from that. And I think New Vegas was kind of the last one that had that kind of like old classic Fallout vibe. Like, I think the fact that you use nukes as like a kind of gameplay mechanic and you're essentially rewarded for doing something that the entire series has built up to be this very bad thing, and like you're supposed to like kind of learn, it's very much a political like satire on all of that.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that is kind of what it's come to.
Really, trivialized.
It's really trivialized, just kind of, I don't want to say the point of the whole series, but kind of the point of the whole series. It feels a little bit more soulless now. Not to say that they aren't good games, and if you enjoy them, I think that's great. I think that they all do have their merits as like stories and mediums and just fun things to play, but it is kind of a bummer for me that something that I think you could do some really cool special stuff with has just turned into, all right, we put a battle royale in it where you guys get to fight and be the overseer of this new vault, or oh hey, you and your friends can launch nukes at each other like that. That I don't like that.
Right. It seems okay. So it seems like that is the, and I wholeheartedly agree. There's no but here.
Sure.
I agree with that. It seems like this is the like the end of the spectrum, like the radical side of the spectrum that says, you know, we're a game developer. We want to make a fun game, but we don't want to be political. And then you put fucking nukes in a game.
Right. Fallout is inherently political. It's a game about nuclear warfare.
Right. So to take that, like to see the idea of like, oh, you press the button.
Right.
You're about to drop a bomb. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, it is really just watering this idea down to just be like, did we learn anything?
It's
absolutely not.
So are you familiar with the term Flandersization? Flandersization or whatever. Mm. So it's the idea that, so in The Simpsons, Ned Flanders started out as just this like simple, like kind of fun, almost like weird, kind of quirky character. And then just as time went on, he just kind of became a caricature of himself, because now whenever you think of Ned Flanders, you just think of howdly doodly Christianity, like all of that, like a goody two shoes bullshit. And I feel like in a way just the Fallout series has been like kind of Flanderized, where it has just kind of become a caricature of like, all right, cool. Now, instead of like being this really neat, cool commentary on like what does humanity or like relaxation in the case of like New Vegas and how does that look, or like just like seeing like how humanity survives something that's so terrible and like the idea of potentially overcoming it or even potentially contributing to it, how that looks. And it's a bummer to me that it's just kind of become, hey, you can, you know, let's all just like build things up and then just like go find other people out here trying to survive and just launch nukes at them, because why not? That's really all I have.
Well, the counter to that is in New Vegas specifically. Yeah. That was the first one. They had Wacky Wasteland or Wild Wasteland.
Wild Wasteland, I think, is I still feel like Wild Wasteland was it felt classic Fallout to me in terms of like the character of that, because those games were weird and kind of wacky in a neat way.
Yeah.
But it felt like it kind of fit in the weird satirical world that they built.
You see something goofy and then that's like in stark contrast to the blown out, you know, burnt out world.
Yeah. That game's very brown. I think of the color brown when I think of New Vegas.
Even the UI is like an orange.
Totally.
I think by default,
which is great. It's good color.
I really like that. In the Wild Wasteland mod, there, and it's not actually a mod, it's like a thing, a checkbox.
It's a perk, I think, that you can get.
Yeah, you can
something that you can, like, it's an option
you
that I think
pick,
you
like,
get at the
right
start
at the
of your
beginning
run.
Of the game, and it's just like, do you want stuff to be spooky, spooky?
Yeah,
and it's
I always
like,
picked it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what this is. And even if I had seen this stuff, I wouldn't have known it. So I looked this stuff up ages ago, so I'm looking it up again. It's just lots of goofy pop culture references. There's a holy hand grenade.
yeah, there's a whole lot of that.
The one that I remember without even looking at this list is in one of the Indiana Jones movies, he escapes a nuclear explosion by jumping into a refrigerator.
Yes.
And so in It's right outside the starting area. You find a fridge that just has a corpse in it.
Yeah, it's got a corpse and his hat and his whip.
Yes.
Which I think is great. Because, come on, he's not going to survive that.
Right. So I like that stuff. There's just lots of goofy stuff in this game. You know, we could talk about more. You can find what people are excited about online. But I've been thinking about this all week since the past couple days.
Sure.
Since Outer Worlds reviews have really come out. So I'm looking forward to this game. I hope that even today that people might check out Fallout New Vegas.
You can find it for very cheap on PC right now. And I think it might actually be part of Game Pass. I'm not sure. I'm
Man,
probably wrong
There's
about
so
that.
Much
yeah,
there.
Totally.
So yeah, if you guys want to talk about that more, hit me up either on Twitter or on the Facebook group because, yeah, memorable is like the one word I really
Absolutely.
Have for New Vegas.
Really sticks out. A lot of people say it is the best Fallout game, and I totally understand why a lot of people think that.
I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the show this week. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by. If you like what you've heard, please consider kicking us a buck or five at patreon.com/heroespodcast. That'll help the show and network grow, to do even cooler stuff. If you can't contribute financially, that's perfectly okay. Sharing or reviewing the show on your podcast platform of choice really does help us out, so please do that if you have an opportunity. If you have any questions or ideas for topics to cover, hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod, and your submissions could make the show. You can find me on Twitter at TheCamdyMan. Thomas is at TeganNotSarah1. And if you're in the Kansas City area or even just passing through, be sure to check out at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter or GGKC on Facebook. We've got links to different gaming events and communities in the area that would love to have you be a part of them, even however briefly. And thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and a better tomorrow.